Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find several speaker feeds with over 800 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Darren.
Hi, my name is Darren, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm a compulsive overeater. What can I say? I'm abstinent, 18 months. I've been in the program for 13 years. I've had two relapses. I'll get into that as I share my story. My top weight was somewhere probably 370, maybe 375, knocking on 400 pounds. I'm currently down 100 plus pounds, and it's slowly going down more. Here I am. It wasn't always like this. So, what was it like? I grew up on the East Coast, Baltimore, single-parent household. Me, my brother, my mother, my dad lived up in northern New York. growing up, we talked, but we didn't talk. We didn't talk about our feelings, how we really felt or what have you. My parents, my mother, she had happy moments in her life, but my brother and I had come to the conclusion that she wasn't a happy person. She often worked, two jobs. Worked a lot. Obviously, when you have a single parent household, then there's so much you can do. You got to make ends meet. You got to work. We never had the lights turned off. We always had food, clothing, shelter. My parents had always done the best that they could to the capacity that they could. I did not always understand that, but, it was a safe house. My mom, she married three times. First time to my father, second time was to an abusive stepfather, and then the third time to her husband before she passed. For me, growing up, it was cool, but I often say the worst time of my life was probably growing up was in my junior high school years. It wasn't fun for me. I believe it was very traumatic. Being bullied, growing up, obviously, I wear hearing aids, so I have a hearing impairment. I've always had hearing loss in the left ear, and then dealing with this vitiligo that I have, depigmentation of the skin, I'm often teased for that. And that affected me psychologically, as a lot of different things did. But the other thing was I had anxiety disorder. Looking back, I didn't know that then. So I'd often get queasy, get sick, be nauseous. And what I would do is, after getting sick, let me make up for that and get more. This was when I was younger. I didn't realize what was going on. Another thing that happened to me, probably second grade or first grade, might have been even first grade, I believe. I do vaguely remember someone at school trying to force me to eat my lunch. And I don't know, somehow that affected me. But growing up, I was a skinny kid, skinny as a rail. But then when I went to college, the isolation, eating, studying, I was never part of like an in crowd in college. I was sort of, doing my own thing. I had friends and stuff. I had associations. I wrote for the school paper and all of that stuff, but never like sort of like the in, quote, popular crowd. But there was isolation. And then when I graduated, obviously, I still had anxiety disorder. And then when I began to work, it was isolation. It was going to work, come home, eating large pizzas in one sitting. It was eating cookies and stuff, food, going out on midnight runs for food. I couldn't stop eating certain foods. As someone has stated earlier today, can't take one bite or one cookie. For me, I'd have to demolish the whole package in an evening or a night, and I just couldn't stop. And then eventually I moved out here. And the other thing, piece of it is spiritually, grew up in the church, believed in God, yada, yada, yada. By the way, who's the timer? We have a timer. 10. Give me another 10 and a 10.
Okay, do you want the 10-minute Q&A at the end?
Excuse me?
Do you want the 10-minute Q&A at the end?
Yeah, yeah, just give me 10 minutes. Okay. So where was I? I was, so again, moved out here for what I thought was going to be a career in writing, because I had done television production and worked in that, and basically I ended up, being a production assistant. And you get older, you don't want to look around and be 40, 45 years old being a production assistant. So I had to make a decision. Work actually dried up when I was working on a show, and it ended. And I switched gears, ended up going in social services and another route. So all that to say is I had problems. I didn't know how to deal with people. I didn't know how to deal with life. And all I did was shove it down. I didn't particularly talk about everything or anything, really. And I felt like a failure. My weight progressively gained. I gained it and got into the food, isolation, food, health problems, high blood pressure, pre-diabetic. Bad relationships, bad financial problems, not dealing with life. And it was not fun. So I guess it just goes back to the food. And being a person that was, I thought, spiritual, I could pray about getting a job, praying about other people's problems. It never really occurred to me to pray and ask God to stop eating, or that God would even care about my weight or my health. But it says in the book that I read that God is concerned about my health. But I never really made the connection. And here's the other thing. My dad and family, no one told me really they were concerned about me being overweight, obese. I think people were scared to tell me. They were afraid to tell me because I'm a sensitive person. And I wish they had. But back in 2013, my dad was on his sick bed. He had cancer. And he was more concerned about me than he was himself. And he wanted me to promise that I would take better care of myself. Now, my father never mentioned anything in terms of me taking care of myself, so to speak. But this time he did. He said something. He said that to me, and it rung a bell. Now, I said, okay, in my mind, I'm going to go get a trainer. I'm going to go work out because I could go to the gym and work out, which I would do, and I would lose some weight, but then I'd gain it back, and I wouldn't understand that I'm just still shoving it down. I'm still eating. I can lose the weight. I can definitely lose, but I can't keep it off. So what I did was, I said, I'm going to get a trainer. But the trainer said to me, I'm not going to waste your money. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste anything. You got a problem with food. You got a relationship with food. I said, what? I didn't understand. So she said, you need to either go, before I train, you need to go to OA or you need to go see a therapist. I said, let me go see what this OA is about. Matter of fact, she was a fellow in OA. So I went to OA, got my sponsor, was working out, got abstinent, and then was working a program, and then had a relapse. And what ended up happening was I was in a bad relationship, and I gained the weight back because I just stopped doing all the things that I need to do. Okay, so here it is. After that relapse, I got a new sponsor, and there's this sober eating approach that I had never heard about, because my food was previously red light, green light, yellow food. But my yellow foods would often end up spilling over and end up being red light food. I can't deal with it that way. I can't deal with it that way. So what I had, I got a sponsor, and I fired me, basically, from making decisions with food. And I have to consult someone else in terms of the food. So what it's like now. So 3 meals a day, 2 snacks. How I do what I do is I call my sponsor every day. One plate, take a picture of my food. Again, I don't make decisions in terms of food and quantities and amounts. I have to consult my sponsor. As much as I would like to have done that, because I've been used to doing, obviously making my own decisions, but I've made enough bad decisions in my life. So with this approach, you know, basically I had to let go and trust my higher power. It was at one point I remember being very uncomfortable, and my sponsor suggesting that I not have pasta. I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. But I was willing. And that willingness, I know I can't logically do recovery. I can't logically think about it and just have that willingness. It has to come from somewhere. So I have to access power. How do I do that? And get the willingness, because I don't, every day, I don't want to do, there's something aspect that I may not even feel like doing it. But somewhere the willingness comes in. And like I said, I read my big book, read a paragraph, write about it, read it, what I wrote to my sponsor, tell my sponsor what it means. I have to make outreach calls and find out how somebody else's day is going. Okay. Because it's easy for me to get inside of myself. It's easy for me to get down. It's easy for me to be consumed with me, my problems, and, you know, and to blame someone else for things going wrong. Not knowing how to deal with life. This wasn't a great summer for me. I needed to work and didn't work. I was basically sort of kicked out of my graduate program because I did not pass a class to do student teaching. So I had to do some work, remedial work, to get that back on track. I still don't know what's going to happen in January, whether I'm going to be able to afford to do student teaching. But I'm not eating over it. In order for me to do the remedial work that I had to do, I had to have some frame of mind to be able to do it. If I was into the food, I would not be able to do it. I would have not been able to deal with the bad news. I would have not been able to deal with the people at the university. And so I'm learning life. I'm learning how to do life at 58 years old, just learning how to do life and talk to people and communicate and open up and share and stuff. And it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been fun, but I'm growing. And every day is not a perfect day. Obviously, things are not going to go my way. So what do I do? Am I going to put up my hands and cry? And yeah, I can do that. And am I going to eat over it? No, because it's not the solution. It's not the answer. Somewhere the answer is with you all. Someone with experience has the answer. So whatever the problem is, or whatever I need to get fixed, I'm not trying to fix it. I will try to fix it for a minute, and then I'll sometimes figure it out. Oh, I need to call somebody, because it's not for me to fix it. I'll call them, what's your experience with this? So that's the other component, that I'm able to sit down with 40, 50 other guys, chop it up, talk to them about, and we talk about whatever is going on, whatever. Because we know that someone has a solution to whatever's going on. I can share that with them, and they can share with me. And I can take guidance and the understanding even in terms of something that may even come up with my food or someone else with their food, or they're having problems. So the idea is, an alcoholic does not pick up alcohol and drink. Compulsive overeater, I can't pick up my alcoholic food and eat it. Because once I do that, I'm back on. All bets are off. If I turn to that sugar, that ice cream, the cakes, the pies, I'm done. Fried foods, I'm done. I don't want to go back to that. You know, and then, of course, we as human beings, creatures that we are, we want to try to spin things in our head. And what we try to do is, the food is so cunning and its disease is baffling that it'll try to weasel its way back in. But we just have to continue to do the work that it takes, one day at a time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I could tell you of what I do. I'm a service. I shouldn't be saying this, but I hate being volunteered for service. But people do volunteer me. And I get really, why somebody call me out? But the service is necessary. I still don't understand how that dynamic works. And you know what? The other thing is really, that's really what it's all about also. Because if I'm into the food, if I'm eating and I'm practicing my disease, how can I be of service to anybody else? How can I be of service to myself? Because it's like when I'm connected to my higher power, it's something I have more clarity and understanding. And it's like I begin to understand what my purpose is. What should I be doing? Am I 100% to be able to be the help of someone, whether it's on my job being service? Because it's really, yeah, I do it to make money, but I'm also do it to help someone. So if I'm practicing my disease, then I'm dysregulated. I'm dysregulated from helping somebody. Whether it's, like I said, on my job, it could be service with OA, it could be just anything. A friend, being there for my friends, my family. You know, and so now, like I say, I'm dealing with life. I got bills I got to pay. I got to figure out what am I going to do? How am I going to catch up on things? What's next? What's coming up down the road? What's coming up for the winter? Monday, I start back work at school. So I want to get my apartment straight. I need to get some things straight. If I'm sitting there eating into the food, depressed, woe is me, I wouldn't be able to do it. But I was able to do some organization today. So that's what the program gives me. This is what my higher power gives me. This is what relationships with other fellows gives me, you know, and, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful, you know, for another day. Some days I don't feel like that. Some days, to be honest, feels like crap. Some days I hate it. Some days I feel crappy. But that's not an excuse or a license for me to eat. I thank God that I don't turn to the food for that. I have to pray. I have to get up and do something. I have to write. I have to, you know, and maybe I may sit there and watch a movie. You know, is it the best thing? No, but I'm not eating the food. So, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. And I think I gave you everything. So with this, I guess I'll pass. I don't know whether it's time for questions, anything. So thank you for letting me share. Any questions here?
Thank you so much, Darren. Can you talk a little bit about, workout person, the trainer said, try OA, and you said, okay, I'll give it a try. Like, what were some of the things that, like, resonated with you in the beginning, or things you read in the big book or 12-12? Like, can you talk just a little bit of the journey that resonated with you that you wanted to keep coming back?
Okay, so the question was, what did I do basically when I met with my trainer after I met with my trainer to get basically the program going, so to speak.
Yeah,
so I went to a meeting on Darby, and people just were nice, and they spoke to me. I was obviously didn't know what the ham sandwich was going on. Excuse the food here. But I didn't know what was going on, but I was able to come in. And people came up to me, or I went to them. And then I had my former sponsor tell me, go up to three people and ask them what their experience is. And from that, find something that you want from them. And I listened, and, you know, and I'm now, the other thing is, I thought, I want, you know, after a while, I went to a few meetings and more meetings, and then I, you know, thought about the sponsor. So I thought the sponsor had to be black. The sponsor had to understand my ethnicity in terms of the types of foods that I eat. But all that went out the window, and which was just so wonderful. And because I got a sponsor who was different from me, but we're the same because we were compulsive overeaters. Same thing with my other sponsor now. He's younger than me and what have you. So that's what I did. And I don't know how I was open to it. I don't know, because I can't say that I had that desperation, but there was something there that it was enough to keep me coming back, because I knew it just resonated with me that I ate, that I have this problem, and I just kept coming back and going to other meetings and stuff, so, you know, and so I just kept going, and that's the thing I say to people, keep coming back, yeah.
Thank you very much. Has your relationship with God changed in the 13 years you've been involved in the program, and if so, how?
So you're asking how my relationship with God changed throughout the program. I always thought, well, when I grew up, we always talked about God and sin and good and bad, and I come to understand that my higher power loves me as I am, and that this disease is not my fault. And that I'm not being punished for anything. And obviously that I can be forgiven for things that I've done. There's just so much of a fundamental shift in terms of my belief in reliance on a higher power. My prayer is different. And even reading the big book, it's brought into me the understanding in terms of prayer, not even just praying for myself, but praying for myself that I would be of help to someone. So that's sort of all of that has shifted and gave me a better understanding. So I hope that answered your question. Yes.
Thank you so much, Darren. As you look back on your two relapses, I'm wondering, do you have thoughts as to, what you attribute them, or how did that happen, or anything?
The most recent relapse was chocolates, and chips and nuts and things like that. They were the small things that I thought, I'm okay with these, but I just kept shoving them down and couldn't stop. Before that, I was in a bad relationship, and I just wasn't doing the work. So obviously, if I'm not doing any of the work, then, and again, it was just nibbling here and there. I would remember going to meetings, and right after the meetings on Darby, I would go and get some cookies. Oh, it's okay. But, it was not. And I had to, be honest about that. And, eventually everything just started to tail off where I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't calling my sponsor. The other thing was I could not talk to my sponsor. I was in shame. I didn't have anyone that I could just talk to about whatever was on my heart and mind. And that's important to have someone you can just talk to and just be honest. Hey, this is what's going on. So. Any other questions?
Yeah. Hi, Darren. Thank you so much for thanking. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. My question is, are there any tools specifically or things that you do to assist you to help you to not eat during times of anxiety and panic during periods like that?
So your question is, what type of tools do I use to help with anxiety and
panic to stop from going to the food?
The big things that I did, it's not like really one thing. I know that I have to pray in the morning. I do know that I have to do some sort of reading. I know that I have to communicate with someone throughout the day. I know that I have to, take pictures of my food and send them. I know that I have to do the writing. So, all of those things. There are even times when specific holidays and stuff, particularly with schools, if it's something there, I get out. I move it out of the way. If it's sitting at the table, I move it out of the way. Donuts or whatever, I just move it. Or I move away. And it's not that it affects me so much, but I just automatically do it. And I don't have to. The thing is, I remember even someone telling me it's theirs, it's not mine. Mentally, it's theirs, and it's not mine. It's not for me to pick up. So, you know, there's things that I have to do every day. You know, whether it's, you know, in the supermarket, if I need to make a call, then I would make that call. So, yeah. Yes.
What do you do if you ever, like, get too hungry? What does that do to you, and how do you deal with that?
When I get hungry?
If you get, like, too hungry, if you get angry, I guess.
If I get hungry?
Yeah. If you get too hungry and, like, it's like I get too hungry, maybe, and I, like, start to, you know.
So the question was, what do I do if I get too hungry? I don't know, normally, because I like sort of stick to my plan and a schedule, so I sort of know in the morning what I'm going to eat. In the afternoon, I know pretty much what my fanfare is, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and normally what time it is. And I know that I have a snack in between. So it's not so much that I get, you know, hungry in between, because I know what the food plan is and I follow that. There are certain things that may look sexy or attractive that I have thought about, but when I see it, I just walk by it. But it's not anything to the point of me obsessing over it. Because I know that once I take a bite, then that's it. That's it. There are people that at work, they offer me things. I say no. I just don't want it. And that's it. You know, that's for them. So, hope I answered your question. Okay, so that's it. So, thank you for letting me share.